and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. So I'm sure you guys probably heard yesterday, as Dad announced it, we did have the birth of our beautiful baby girl yesterday at 12:15. She's extremely healthy, and pregnancy went awesome. It really went pretty much just as good as Hunter's did with the midwife. Lana pretty much started laboring late Tuesday night. By Wednesday morning, she told me, you know, pretty much it's becoming that time. So we went to the midwife center, got there at 10 a.m., actually right on the head, 10 a.m., and pretty much baby Kendall was out and about by 12:15 p.m., and we were back home at about 5:30. So it was an awesome day. It went well. It was definitely intense as always, but it went as good as we could have prayed for it to go. We were very blessed, and yeah, it was really, really exciting, Dad. So I wanted to make sure I shared that news with you guys personally now and let you know everything's going great today. She's sleeping and eating as always. Both of them are resting. So it was a very exciting day for me yesterday to add number two into the family. And yeah, definitely a good power moment again, Dad. Great way to start off 2018, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely awesome. You know, what's interesting, I was on Steve Quayle's website today, and he actually had an article in there about Seinfeld. And you guys already know how I feel about Jerry Seinfeld, and I'll reiterate it again in just a minute. And Jerry Seinfeld was basically at breakfast with this other comedian, and they were talking about coffee and breakfast, and Seinfeld ordered, you know, bacon and eggs. And he goes, quote, what you want in a pancake is to have the consistency of young human flesh. You were the guy with the brightly colored undergarments, and you got soft human flesh in front of you. I don't know how that's supposed to be funny. I mean, this guy's almost a billionaire. And I told you years ago, I stopped watching the Seinfeld show reruns after I had seen him on with another Jewish comedian, and they were basically completely lampooning a picture of Jesus Christ and urinating on it in the video. I mean, I'm not making this up. Seinfeld wasn't the one urinating on it, but the other guy was. You know, they were both laughing about it. And if you're on my personal list, you've got a copy of that video today from Seinfeld. You can get it offline. And basically just Google in there, Jerry Seinfeld laughs about the picture of Christ being urinated on, and you'll find it on your Google search. And that's why I saw this about 4, 5, 6 years ago, and I've never watched another rerun of Jerry Seinfeld since I saw this video. I don't care if they were doing just humor stuff and funny stuff, but when they have an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ and all things Christians, and they act like this and they think it's funny, I don't find any type of humor ridiculing my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as funny. And if they had done that to Muhammad, they would probably already have death warrants on them. If they had been a Muslim country and they had done that to Muhammad, they would already be dead. And quite frankly, I've had enough of this, with this hatred of these folks in Hollywood, you know, their hatred of all things Christians, this deep generational hatred. And now Jerry Seinfeld is talking about pancakes testing and being the consistency of young human flesh. And quite frankly, if anybody thinks that's funny, I don't even know how to not make that funny. To me, it's absolutely contemptible with what we know with the globalists and their soul cooking parties and the eating of human flesh that we're seeing now in these rituals, and the Ted Gunderson exposed back in the 90s, the former head of the FBI for LA County. All of this stuff is just really weird to me. And quite frankly, I find it repugnant, repulsive, and nauseating. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I saw the article too, because it was actually from season 5 of his show back in December 18, 2014 is when it aired, and he was with Jimmy Fallon, who's a late night talk show host, and it was a very odd scene because they're literally sitting there ordering food at a restaurant, and pancakes show up for Jimmy Fallon, and Seinfeld's looking at him, and then that's what he says. He goes, "What you want in a pancake is to have the consistency of young human flesh." As Fallon's poking the stack of pancakes with his finger, and they both grin and then laugh, almost like it's an inside joke. And I watched it like 2 or 3 times because I wanted to make sure it was legit, and it was. I looked it up, and it was definitely legit. There was even a review website that literally did a review on every single episode of this and other comedy shows, but of this show as well, the comedians and cars getting coffee. And they even made it a point on the review of this episode to say the funniest quote of the episode was when Jerry Seinfeld said this, what you want in a pancake is to have the consistency of young human flesh. And I felt, I mean, it was very troubling to me when I heard that, because as Dad said, who jokes like that? Because at first that's what I thought. I'm like, oh, maybe it was kind of a joke the first time he said it, and then he elaborates on it even more. But then you kind of go, who really says stuff like that? Who even makes jokes like that? Not like, well, you kind of want the pancake to have like human skin texture. Then I'll be like, okay, maybe. But he specifically said young human flesh. And the thing that always is weird to me is usually when the term flesh is referred to, it's almost always referring to in a almost derogatory manner, as if you're going to eat that person, or you're going to butcher that person, or you're going to do something with flesh. You usually say meat if you're talking about like soft tissue, or skin if you're talking about it and basically a biological aspect of the skin aspect of it. But using the term young human flesh was quite troubling to me, Dad. And that's definitely not something that I find okay. And the fact that they both joked about it, and it was almost like an inside joke when they said that. So I didn't find it funny at all. But obviously, we're starting to see more and more now the truth is coming out about Hollywood and the globalist and what they're involved in out there. You know, Seinfeld's worth, I think, an estimated $920 million. He's right under the line of being a billionaire, and that's just what he's disclosed. And I remember I talked to a friend of mine a while back ago that was in the music industry that had been out of L.A. for a while, back and forth from the East Coast and the West Coast, and I was talking to him, and he said, he did okay, moderate in his music career, nothing good really at all compared to what a lot of these guys do. And I asked him about the guys out there and a lot of stuff, and he said, the thing is, Austin, he said, even the young guys that are making money, the young guys and girls, he said, if they're in the multi-million dollar low range mark, he said, the globalists, the Illuminati, they really don't even bother with them that much. He said, they'll try to recruit them and get them involved in stuff. And he goes, pretty much until you get to about the $50 million mark. He said, if you start reaching a point where you break $50 million in your network, he goes, you don't really go past that without doing exactly what they tell you to. He said, because once you reach that point, they know you're going to be big, they know you're going to grow, and they know you're going to have a huge platform. And they don't want you knowing the truth about what's really going on out there. And I mean, you got to admit, once you reach a point you're worth $50, $100, $150, $200 million, you can pretty much do anything you want, whether it be for good or for bad. And if you really are a person that wants to be for good, you go, you know what, I got the funds to do this, I have the platform to do this, I'm going to start talking about what's really going on. We saw that with Kanye West last summer, who, an individual, I don't like his music, I don't listen to him, I think he acts like a fool a lot of times. However, he's very, very wealthy, very big in the music industry, and of course has been involved with a lot of Illuminati stuff with Jay-Z, in my opinion. And if you guys remember, he was at a concert, sold out, 70,000 people at this venue, and he stops like halfway through the concert and starts talking about the Illuminati and the globalists and the music industry and the hypocrisy and the stuff that they're involved in. I mean, from the stage with the microphone. And it completely shocked the music industry. And of course, 2 days later, he was Baker acted against his will. They came into his house, they set him up on a gurney, and they basically took him into the hospital and Baker acted him. And he was released a couple days later. And of course, he was, oh, I'm sorry I did that, I don't know what was going on, I was having an issue, an emotional breakdown, blah, 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 completely my fault. And went back to his scripted narrative that they told him to stay on. But sometimes you see this happen with these guys. You saw it happen with Britney Spears back, what, 10, 12 years ago. She went nuts in the barber salon and started shaving her hair off and went completely off the reservation and basically disappeared for a couple years. Completely jumped out of the music industry, didn't do anything anymore, and now she's back. She's done her basically rituals again. She's done her music videos again, her basically satanic, sexual, promiscuous music videos. She's back at doing those again last year. And that's what they use these guys for. And obviously, Jerry Seinfeld, in my opinion, was not saying that in a joking manner. He was saying that in almost a sarcastic underline behind the scenes inside joke with Fallon that they both laughed about. So I think there's some weird stuff still going on out there. They just reached the tiny tip of the iceberg with this stupid stuff with Weinstein and those other guys. Notice, remember I told you before, what they did with Hollywood and what they did with the media over the last couple months is they made sure they distracted everybody from any real information coming out, the pedophilia, the cannibalism, all that stuff, and they focused it on, oh, well, this 20-year-old girl allowed herself to basically have sex with this guy because he wanted to take her up in the higher in the industry, and she did, and she regrets it now. As far as I'm concerned, that's consensual sex. There's really, I'm not in agreement with that. I don't support that. But they're trying to twist it into this thing now. Well, he basically tried to get them to do this and do that and do him favors so they would go up in the industry and completely sidestep the fact that that is not the truth of what's going on in Hollywood. That is only the small tip of the iceberg of what is really going on out there as we're starting to see more and more now, Deb.
You're absolutely right. In fact, on the show, The Voice, you know, you've got Blake Shelton on there, who's like now one of the posing one of the sexiest men on the planet. Of course, they're saying it's racist because he's a white man. So they're all mad about that. The globalists are. But a few years ago, they had a singer on there. He was like a young Elvis, and he was very, very talented. And Blake Shelton even went as far as to say that he thought he was going to win the program. Well, this guy was real macho, and he was very good dancer, very good singer, very good football player in high school. I'm not going to mention his name. And, you know, Clive Davis runs all those programs. I mean, Clive Davis is the homosexual who basically runs the Hollywood groups of people that do all this as far as in the record industry. And I'm not speaking about Clive Davis. He's an admitted homosexual. He says he claims he's bisexual, whatever that's supposed to mean. I think that's a thing that gay guys say when they don't want to be gay or don't want to be just gay. And what ends up happening is it's a situation where he ends up, this kid gets booted off the show before he ever gets a chance to get even. You get into the semifinals, and he was just amazing kid, amazing man. And so I remember when Kelly Clarkson won the first American Idol, you know, Clive Davis had her on the road to stardom, and then she didn't like what he was giving her to sing, and they broke the, after her contract expired, she basically got away from him, and basically the whole career collapsed. And then Miley Cyrus just last month came out and said she didn't want a bunch of old Jewish guys up in an office telling her what she's supposed to do and not to do as far as her record releases and what she's supposed to be singing about. And, of course, her last album completely collapses and doesn't do anything. Guys, what we have to understand is this. The guys that are running the media entertainment industry in America, these guys are not born-again, spirit-filled Christians who love Jesus Christ. They don't. These are not these guys. These guys are hedonistic. Many of them are homosexual. Many of them are satanic. Many of them are Sabbatean Kabbalists. Many of them are Luciferians. Many of them are involved in these sacrificial worship services that are in Hollywood. I mean, even the Witch of Benghazi, according to Larry Nichols, was going back and forth to L.A. every 6 weeks to her witch's coven. I mean, this is what Larry Nichols has said publicly, and Hillary Clinton has never denied this. She's never sued him for slander for saying this. Nothing. They basically don't want this information to be brought into the public light. But when we saw the WikiLeaks last fall, when we were having the election, and a week before the election, they announced the Podesta emails about the soul cooking parties and the drinking of human blood and all the other filthy stuff they were doing with all that, you know, and we saw these guys were involved in going to these parties and being involved in this, a huge disclosure happened, and it cost Hillary Clinton the election, is what it did. And the sad part about all of this stuff is that most talk show hosts, the alternative talk show hosts now, they no longer bring this into remembrance. This is old news now. It's been from 14, 15 months ago. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's old news. Well, quite frankly, it is the news because when they broke the information that was going on in Hollywood and Podesta broke the information they were going to soul cooking parties, Austin, you can't just walk away from that comment and say, oh, wow, that's interesting. No, that's not interesting. That's bizarre. That's absolutely so far out there that it's almost scary that people even talk like this. When Hillary Clinton was talking about how she was going to go up into the attic, break out the old rabbit's foot, and sacrifice a chicken to Moloch. Are you kidding me? That was released. I mean, who talks like that? You don't hear Ted Brewer or anybody talking like that. I mean, who's going to sacrifice anything to Moloch? I mean, what a bunch of nutbags. This is what's going on with these globalists. So I'm so glad that Seinfeld's being fully exposed now for who and what he is. And guys, I'm telling you this. I don't watch his shows anymore, because when you have your cable box turned on at his show, they record you as a person who's watching it, and they sell the advertising revenue based on how many people are watching that, and he gets a cut of all that because he gets paid for the release of that program and for the airing of that program because he sells the copyrights because he was the producer. So, guys, Seinfeld gets paid every time you watch those shows. He gets money out of your pocket, and you're supporting that. Now, I know some of his shows are really funny, and I know George and Elaine and Kramer. I know I've watched all the episodes probably before until I saw this video that he had done. Once I had seen that, I said, you know what? I'm taking a line in the sand. I'm not going to support this anymore. By the way, let's move on. Pennsylvania lawmaker seeks to inform parents of vaccine dangers before immunization. I love this. Pennsylvania wow. State Legislator Mike Fulmer is seeking support for a law that would require medical professionals to obtain informed consent from parents, which would require that they be told of potential risks associated with the ingredients of vaccines. Fulmer says the law limits parental rights to refuse vaccine and violate the constitutional rights to do a... Let me read this again. This is written badly. Fulmer says the present law limits parental rights to refuse vaccines and violate the constitutional right of due process. He also is planning a resolution requesting Congress to repeal the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act that shields vaccine makers from liability for vaccine injuries and prevents parents from suing for damages. Now, he has as much chance of a snowball in Florida in August on black asphalt at noonday of getting that passed through the current Congress that we have that is beholden to the drug companies controlled by the Sabbatean cabalists. That's not going to happen. But if he can start doing this at a state level and get these people their rights back, Austin, and make this a national issue, then maybe we can work at getting this thing repealed. But, guys, Donald Trump told us he was going to look at this. And once he got into office, he got the nod. He got basically told that wasn't going to happen, and he was not going to be allowed to do any of that. By the way, the Syrian army now is also vowing to prevent U.S. military from creating new terrorist groups in its country. The President Assad's army objects to the continued presence of the U.S. military and vows to drive it out. It says the U.S. is training anti-government militias in the interest of protecting Israel. American neocon General McMaster, however, says that 80% of Syria's army is made up of Iranian proxies. I don't believe that. What do you think about these two stories, Austin?
That's pretty wild. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, though, as far as with what they've been trying to push with Iran. We already know that's probably going to be a huge place for a battlefield in the near future. They want to go to World War III under any clause that they can, whether it's North Korea, whether it's Iran, whether it's a combination of the two. We saw, you know, the video, there was the general in the interview on, I think it was online, it was years and years ago, but how they said that they were going to strategically take down the last seven countries in the Middle East, and he listed the countries that they were going to take down, and Iran is pretty much one of the last Middle Eastern countries that is not under total control of the globalist or the Rothschilds or some type of central banking cartel. So Iran is... it's got sights on it. Its days are limited as far as what they are going to be able to do. Whether or not you agree with that regime, whether or not you like them, it's not really my place to say. I really don't care for them. But on the other hand, too, we do not ever have the right to have to go in and start invading sovereign countries and completely overthrowing their leadership because we don't agree with their way they're doing things. And that's what we continue to do, is use that excuse of they're doing crimes against humanity, or they're doing this, or they're doing that. But yet, nobody ever wants to bring up the CIA. Speaking of the CIA and a lot of their weird stuff as well, I find this odd, because I've been trying to... I was reading some stuff the other day on Trump's... his medical checkup. They did his checkup. They said he was good to go. You know, whatever. I'm glad. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's healthy. But one thing that I keep seeing and I keep hearing in articles is how CNN basically keeps predicting Trump's going to die of a heart attack, which I find very odd. There was actually another article on it right now from the American Mirror. They said, this is on CNN, because of Trump's calcium score, CNN predicts the president will have a heart attack or heart disease within the next 3 to 5 years. But CNN medical analyst Sanjay Gupta was even more aggressive. She said, so the president has heart disease, he declared. Yesterday, CNN host Shelter didn't accept that findings, that Trump's examiner said he was in good health. So they're continually saying that he's basically about to die of a heart attack. He's going to die in 3 to 5 years. He has heart disease, blah, blah, blah. And so you got to think about it for a second. For Trump to suddenly die of a heart attack when this doctor blatantly said he's in perfect health, and he's going to die from natural causes, they're essentially, in my opinion, conditioning the public to believe he's at risk of one. Do you guys remember back by the Church Committee in 1975? From
right.
CIA whistleblower Mary Imbrium, they discussed in detail the heart attack gun, which was a heavily modified 1911. They would shoot a dart with deadly poison that was nearly undetectable. The poison was frozen with a dart that was, it was shot at a very high speed. When it reached the person, it melted inside of them, and there'd basically be a tiny red dot on their body, and it was very hard to detect. There wouldn't be a needle or anything like that left in the person. Then CIA director William Colby confirmed the gun could fire a special dart, which potentially would be able to enter without perception. So this is something that was 40 years ago, guys. So if you don't think they have upgraded technology now, they don't have heart attack guns and heart attack rays and all kinds of other stuff now over the last 30 to 40 years of R&D that these guys have been working on, you're living in Narnia land. So I find it very troubling that CNN now is starting their psyop, their propaganda rhetoric, starting to say that, well, Trump could die any time now from a heart attack. He's got heart disease. 3 to 5 years, he's going to die. They're speaking that over him. First off, we already know what words do to completely change the fabric of everything around us. And secondly, they're getting everybody conditioned so that if something does happen to him, they're going to say, oh, we called that. We knew that was going to happen. We tried to warn everybody, but nobody listened. So I find this very strange, Dad, that they're continually bringing this up right now, even though he had a completely healthy bill of sale from his doctor. What do you think about that?
Well, it makes it plausible if they do something to him and induce a heart attack in him, Austin, that nobody will think anything of it because CNN called it. I mean, it's conditioning. I remember years ago, gosh, I got to be careful what I tell you guys because I know so much. I knew a guy who was a former police officer and he worked for a major ministry. I'll leave it at that. And the major ministry was involved in gun running and a whole bunch of other stuff. And he found out about it and he ended up doing an investigation into the ministry, and the head of the ministry found out about it and filed a lawsuit on him and put a gag order on him. And I can't believe I'm telling you guys this. And then he met with me. I met the guy in Orlando, and we went to Fishbones Restaurant over on International Drive through a mutual friend of his one night. And this is a multi-$100 million and tied into multi-billion-dollar ministries in the United States. They call them the Christian Mafia, by the way, if you get into the inner circles. And you guys think I'm joking, but I'm not. That's what I'm going to say to you one more time. Keep your money at local churches. Keep it at local churches. And what ended up happening is we were having dinner with him, and we left and went over to a place close where they have a place called DeFeo Swartz. He's out of business there now. It was a toy store, and it was a big outdoor open mall. And there were three guys standing watching us the whole time we were outside talking. And finally, I told the guys, I said, you know, we're being surveilled right now. They said, oh, yeah, we know. These guys are up on the platform. There's a catwalk over us, like a sidewalk. And they've been with me all week. And he said, I've got this minister coming into a doggone deposition next week, and we're going to get this done right. And I said, you need to make sure you're careful, bud. You need to go ahead and stay at home, you know, eat out of cans if you have to. But you need to avoid public places right now because, you know, you're dealing with hundreds of millions and billions of dollars here. And I said, these people, they can have you killed pretty quickly. And his response was, they'll never do that to me because I've got the goods on them. I'm like, okay. Well, the following week was Tuesday. That was on Friday night. And when we were walking all over the place, up and down escalators, running around all night. Had a great time. And, you know, with these three guys, these three thugs in tow. And I remember we got to the, it was Tuesday morning, and his friend called me up, and he was in tears. And told me that this man had gone to a outdoor activity and had a massive heart attack. His heart exploded. And, you know, guys, I went to the guy's funeral that Friday, and it ended up being just a disaster. I mean, it was awful. And I meet him one Friday. The following Friday, they were burying him. And the pastor of the church, who knew what was going on, he got so disillusioned by the whole thing, he basically walked away from his ministry and started another ministry just to get away from these people. And, I mean, I've seen all of this stuff. So when you talk about killing people with heart attack weapons, in my opinion, there's a real high probability that's what happened with this individual. Now, if you guys ever meet me personally, and I know you well, I'll give you the full details of all that, but I'm not going to do it over the air, just because from a libel standpoint, I can't. But when Austin gives you a story like this from this church committee back in the mid-70s with this heart attack weapon, this is real technology. Now they have Tesla beams and waves that can disrupt what's called the sinoatrial node, which initiates the pacemaker potential of the heart. And what it does, it basically stuns the heart to stop. And it can be done through walls. It can be done from a long distance away. It's just an energy field gun is what it is. And it's very, very dangerous. And these are in production. They already have these types of weapons. So, guys, it's one of those things that, you know, when people start talking about a president's about to die or going to die from a heart attack, it kind of makes you wonder what in the world they got up their plans. But let's change the topic. Pro-gun control candidate for the Illinois Attorney General is robbed at gunpoint in spite of having one of the strongest gun control laws in effect in Illinois. This is crazy. Illinois' Attorney General, hopeful and staunch gun control advocate Aaron Goldstein, was posing for a photo op in Gun Control Chicago's Albany Park on Thursday afternoon when he was suddenly robbed at gunpoint by three armed criminals who refused to follow the city's strict gun laws. The Daily Caller reports, since he was unarmed in accordance with his own gun control policy, all the emasculated liberal could do was to stand there humiliated by his own principles as the armed thugs effortlessly stripped him and his camera crew of their possessions. The irony couldn't be thicker as Goldstein and his constituents embarrassingly lamented the fact that because they were unarmed, while the offenders were still illegally equipped, they lost all of their belongings and pride. Of course, they are some of the incredibly fortunate residents in Chicago who encounter daily gun violence in one of America's cities with the strictest gun laws who aren't killed. In a seemingly brutal dose of karma, this article says, Goldstein explained that he and his crew were posing on the street in the park to give the photos of a neighborhood kind of feel when they came face to face with the consequences of gun control. According to the Chicago Tribune, Goldstein and his crew were luckily unarmed, but refused to give detailed descriptions of their attackers, who they merely described as suspects between the ages of 20 and 24. Again, let's make sure the article stays politically correct. Let's not tell you who these people were and what they look like, because it may stereotype someone. Unbelievable irony, Austin. This guy gets robbed at gunpoint while posing for photos. What do you think?
It doesn't. It's actually kind of funny. I mean, it's not funny anybody ever getting robbed. I mean, I've had stuff stolen from me before in the past, and it's a horrible feeling. However, I kind of want to sit there and say, I told you so. You know, when you have this ideology that because you're a good person, and that you think society inherently is good, and that firearms basically should not be carried by anyone because we live in this utopia that's perfect, and nobody has any type of malice or hatred to do anything bad towards anyone, so nobody should own a firearm, and everybody should follow your lead. You live in what we call fairyland. That place doesn't exist on this world. This world is sinful in nature. There's no question about it. Ask anybody that's been to war. Ask anybody that's been involved in a fight. Ask anybody that's been involved in a shooting. This world is a sinful place to be. So living in Narnia land or fairy world and pretending that everything's perfect and you don't need a firearm, so nobody carries a firearm because they want to follow the laws that you basically write, and then you go ahead and you get yourself robbed at gunpoint by somebody that decided they don't want to follow your laws is slightly comical. I just have to say that. And this is what a lot of these liberals run through all the time. See, most of the time, the reason why this doesn't happen to a lot of these lawmakers and a lot of these total liberal fairyland, you know, people is because they have armed security. That's they right. Like to pretend that everybody around them, that they're one man, two man, five man, six man fire team that walks around them 24/7, only has guns for a worst case scenario, and they would never have to use them. When in reality, the only reason that nobody ever robs these individuals, not because they're lawmakers, not because they're, you know, in the government, but because they know that these individuals are walking around with a four or five or six man fire team security force, and it will be completely and totally not positive for them if they decide to rob these individuals, because they're going to get shot by their security force. That is the only reason why it works, but they believe nobody else should own firearms, including law-abiding citizens, because what would you need a firearm for? Why would you need to defend yourself? I don't carry a firearm. Oh, I know the six guys that walk behind me that are armed, they only do that because they really have to be there. I don't really need them there. So I find this story comical. It's just, it's the typical liberal ideology. We don't live in this fairy world. It doesn't exist. It never has existed, not after the Garden of Eden. People will continue to kill each other. If it's not with firearms, it'll be with knives, clubs, chains, bombs, whatever you want to pick, for the foreseeable future in this world. So telling everybody they don't need to be armed and they need to just be happy and live in fairyland and pretend everybody's out to help them and do good is just ludicrous to me. So I kind of find this story humorous, Dad. Even though I don't find it funny when people get robbed, it does have some humor to it.
I'm surprised this Mr. Goldstein, or whatever his name was, I'm surprised he didn't go ahead and start sprinkling fairy dust. I'm surprised he didn't give him the big. I'm surprised he didn't give him the big Great Society speech and say, you know, what are you guys doing? We're trying to fight for your rights. See, let me explain something to all of the listeners who are just tuning in. This show is so far from politically correct. It's like almost like it's so far out there. People say, I always tell people, often say, well, you listen to our show, and my response is always, you listen to our show, but you got to understand something. It's not politically correct. And it's ultra conservative. It's ultra conservative. I mean, we're Second Amendment gun-toting patriots. I mean, if you like that, you're going to like our show. If you think that drinking fairy dust or pixie dust or whatever, and you start telling these guys about why they shouldn't rob you is going to make a difference as they're taking your stuff, you need to realize something, guys. You know, that's not the real world that we live in. I mean, with over 500 homicides in Chicago every single day, like there's something more than one person a day gets killed. These guys are lucky, just lucky they weren't shot. It's like Michael Moore and all the nutbags. They like to run around with this armed security detail around them. Same thing with Hillary Clinton and all the rest of these people, Barack Obama, all of them. They all have armed security. I remember when I was in the Reunion Arena in Dallas. It was the first seminar I ever did with President Bush, the old Bush, H. Bush. I remember they had snipers. We had like 17,000 people at Reunion Arena that day. And I remember they had snipers up. It may have been in Houston, but it was a Reunion Arena. And they had snipers up in the attic dressed in camouflage, you know, laying up in the right with high-powered rifles over the crowd because George Bush was there. And these guys were scanning the crowd with their scopes. And the whole back of the platform where we were sitting was covered in doggone Secret Service. Now, I'm going to say something to you guys that I've never said before. I have had dinner with President Bush. I've sat down beside President Bush. I have talked to President Bush for years and years and years on end, 6 years on the seminar circuit, and along with Barbara Bush. Whenever I met with them, they were extremely nice. Now, a lot of people think they're shape-shifting lizards. I can't even believe I'm saying this, okay? And that their eyes go slit, and they have a slit eye and all that kind of stuff. Guys, I have sat there with George Bush and had dinner with him. He does not have slit pupils. He does not have that. Okay, and they were very, very nice when I met with them. Now, do I like these people now that I know that they're skull and bones and all this stuff? No, I don't. But back then, I didn't know any better. Guys, remember, this was 25, 26 years ago when I was doing all these seminars. Now I was in my 30s. I mean, I basically knew them well from a professional standpoint, and they were always super nice. Now, Schwarzkopf, he was really blunt. I liked him. I asked him if he'd run for president. He says, I'm not going to run for president. I'm not going to work with Congress. They're a bunch of babies, a bunch of pansies. I don't want to have anything to do with them. That was Schwarzkopf. I liked him a lot. I liked to speak German with him. The guy was really, really smart. And Colin Powell, he was really, really, really nice. I hated it when Bush threw him under the bus. Larry King was really nice all the time. Bill Cosby was not nice. I've told you guys that. Robert Shuler, may he rest in peace, he was not nice. Mary Lou Retton was nice. And so many other people that we met were really, really nice people. But I've never seen shape-shifting lizards in seminars. This is one of the things that David Icke talks about that I just got to walk away from. This guy goes, you know, okay, bud, whatever. Now, guys, but now I'm not saying that there aren't people out there that are weird. I'm not saying there aren't people out there that have really weird tendencies. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying, I'm not saying that I don't believe in fallen angels because I believe in all of that. But, guys, you got to be really careful what you listen to and who you believe, because some of the stuff that's out there is pretty doggone far out. By the way, Google and Facebook emerge now as a threatening duopoly, which is a monopoly times two, over personal communication. Google and Facebook have now become a duopoly. capturing 84% of digital revenue worldwide, excluding China. That adds up to 30% of all revenue on the entire planet. These companies have a strong left collective communist bias and are weaponizing their ideology. Tucker Carlson says that the companies are even more powerful than governments. Wow. And Congress has the power to regulate them, but backs away partly because politicians fear the power and partly because many of them are also collectivists. Now, what he's saying this is they're communists and they're working together with these people that are running the country. It's like Zuckerberg, all of these guys. Do you really think, we already know that Zuckerberg stole Facebook. We already got that. We already know that. We already did all this. We also know that suddenly he has all of this funding and now he's worth billions and billions of dollars. He's a young guy. Yeah, do you really think that's what happened? These guys are what we call cutouts. They're proxies through the Rothschild banking cartel, and they're allowed to have these massive fortunes if they do the bidding of their masters, guys, and they're funded. The same thing with Rockefeller, the same thing with Carnegie, the same thing with all of these guys who basically work together with the Rothschild banking cartel and were funded by these fives, including J.P. Morgan. All of these guys, now we know George Soros, one of these guys too. All of these guys work together in tandem to try to control us via the Rothschild International Corporate Criminal Banking Cartel. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right on it. I mean, I've called out that with Zuckerberger so many times as far as with the CIA funding and everything else, and not to mention, like you said, he completely ripped off the guys that helped him even with the design with Facebook and the startup from it, and then all of a sudden he turns into essentially almost a billionaire overnight. No, that doesn't just happen normally. These aren't things where people just fall into a billion-plus dollars and have the biggest social media platform in history. You got to remember, the CIA already was in the process of trying to find a very, very well-put-together platform that people would voluntarily put on all of their personal information on a regular basis. And not just photos or date of birth or anything like that. That's easy stuff. That's not hard to get a hold of. We're talking intimate details of your daily activity, like your location, the fact that you're getting coffee at a coffee house at 8:17 a.m. before you go to your work, what you're doing at work, every aspect of what you do, including your friends, who you're with, and where you're at each time. You got to remember, for a lot of people, Facebook is their online life. That is what they live through vicariously through the internet, and they have a whole other world that they live in on a regular basis. They post everything on Facebook to all their friends, to everything they do. The CIA was looking for something, and this was the exact replica of what they wanted. They took basically the idea of what Zuckerberger built, which originally was based off MySpace platform, and turned it into a college-only platform originally with Facebook, and started working on it with his friends until he essentially ripped them off. The CIA came in and basically said, we want to make this 1,000 times bigger than what it is. We don't care about college students. We want this on a global scale, and completely scaled it up and made him a multi-billionaire. And in turn, he completely ripped off his friends that even helped him design the platform that it was put on. So, yes, that's exactly how this has happened and what they've done. And now, of course, look what they've done. They've turned it into a completely and totally perfect spying grid, because they don't even have to try to extract stuff from you. They don't even have to lie. They don't have to steal it. They don't even need a warrant. People voluntarily put their stuff on there all day long, every day, all day, and then they sign off on the terms and conditions. It doesn't matter what you put on there. It's the property of Facebook, and they can do with whatever they want with it at any time they want with it. So definitely interesting stuff. Also, too, speaking of colleges now, as you guys know, about a month ago, I talked about how Harvard had officially released that they're going to enforce sanctions on students of anybody that basically ran a fraternity or a sorority that was gender specific. Meaning, if you have a sorority that only takes girls in, oh my gosh, imagine that, or a fraternity that only takes guys in, there were going to be basically sanctions on the students. Well, students who essentially defy the policy and join a single gender club, they've released now, will be ineligible for campus leadership positions, will not be allowed to be captains of athletic teams, and will be ineligible for school endorsements for prestigious academic fellowships, the policy now states. At least three Harvard sororities have refused to comply with the policy so far, but one sorority has now capitulated, making Kappa the first sorority to publicly join this entire new gender-neutral sorority. They said the newly unaffiliated members can now join Fleur de Lis, a gender-neutral yet female-focused group created to replace Kappa. They said, we're excited for the new opportunity to contribute to a healthy campus social life at Harvard and firmly believe that gender-neutral organizations committed to empowering female-identifying persons hold a place on Harvard's campus. So now we have a sorority that will now essentially allow guys to join this sorority if they say that they identify as a female. I can't possibly see anything wrong with this, Dad. What in the world could go wrong with this whatsoever? The lunacy knows no bounds, especially on these college campuses now. I just thought this was a really, really funny story, and I have a pretty good feeling that this is going to ensue with a lot of very strange situations that are going to occur now over the next years, allowing anybody essentially to join a sorority if they say they identify as a female.
Well, you know, probably some of these young guys at the University of Alabama, who have some really beautiful girls at the University of Alabama, they decided to implement this policy there. They may want to go ahead and, you know, tell them that they're going to be a female for a while so they can date all the girls. I mean, you know, I'm just being facetious, but, you know, this is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, how in the world can you not have a sorority? I know, don't get me wrong, I've never been involved in a fraternity at Florida State. When I, you know, I went to college locally here when I first started college, and then I went to Florida State as a junior, and I never did any fraternities or anything like that up there simply because I didn't have time, being a biology major, undergraduate, chemistry, and all that kind of stuff. I didn't want to have to deal with I had to study too much. And so what was funny is I just cannot believe now that now they're saying that it's okay for guys to join female fraternities or sororities. But again, you got to remember, Harvard is the bastion of liberalism that's completely and totally, it's been inbred now for 100 years as far as its graduate programs, and that people who basically have graduated from Harvard, who've donated money to Harvard, who want their children to go to Harvard, they get preferential treatment at Harvard, as do most schools do that, as far as getting into these graduate programs. So it's like an inbreeding up there. I mean, this all started, you know, most of these universities started off as Christian organizations, and they have long, long, long left their Christian roots. By the way, Antifa. You know, let me, for all you guys that are new listeners now, we talk about Antifa. Antifa is basically a shortening of anti-fascist. That's what Antifa means. And it goes back to Hitler being a fascist and the communists hating the fascist. These people, these liberal children now in these universities and a lot of people who are Democrats, they believe that Trump is a fascist. I told you about that young girl who was a college student who was a cheerleader. I believe it was at Clemson, who told me that Trump was a fascist, you know, when we were getting off a plane coming back from the island of either Santorini or Mykonos in Greece. And it was interesting to me how she got adamant and got angry and was almost ready to pull back a fist and hit me. I mean, it's like a 21-year-old girl who just had a way out of control temper. And what was interesting to me is it goes back to Hitler and the communists. The fascists hated the communists. The communists hated the fascists. That's why it blows my mind that the communists have long vowed to destroy Germany because of its fascist origins under Hitler as far as this industrial powerhouse that it became. And now the communists have put Angela Merkel into power, who was raised as a full-blown communist, into power in Germany. And now she is pretty much single-handedly, through her open immigration policies, destroyed the very fabric of the society of Germany. But that's why when you hear of Antifa, it's anti-fascist, which when a person's Antifa, they're primarily a collectivist or a communist or a socialist. That's the organization that's controlling these guys, because that's what they want. They want collectivism. They want a one-world government, one-world religion, one-world everything. Now, say that, I'm saying this. The Antifa professor up in Charlottesville's now is admitting carrying a rifle and chasing James Field's car before his deadly crash. This is crazy. This guy's not in jail for saying that he admits to this. The University of North Carolina anthropology professor Dwayne Dixon is the leader of an armed Antifa group called Redneck Revolt. He has admitted chasing James Alex Fields Jr. with a rifle, causing Fields to drive into a crowd of other Antifa and Black Lives Matter protesters, resulting in one death and dozens of injuries. The media was quick to brand Fields' actions as terrorism, but according to authorities now, Fields expressed remorse and shock after the incident, asking, "Are they okay?" suggesting the tragedy was not intended, but a result of fleeing from Professor Dixon and his rifle. Now, this guy has admitted to carrying this rifle openly like this and chasing this guy with a rifle. Guys, where do you know in your own hometown, if someone admits to doing this, that they're not going to be put in jail? That they're just going to come take them away. You chase somebody down with a rifle, you scare them, they run into a crowd of people, they kill somebody because you're chasing them with a rifle, and you're going to walk and you're going to skate? Unbelievable, Austin. What do you think?
No, that would, I mean, in a real society where laws and rules actually apply, which obviously we know with a lot of this stuff with Antifa, they're essentially paid protesters to do whatever they need to do. No, absolutely not. First off, you'd be charged with brandishing a firearm in a public setting. You'd also get charged with probably reckless endangerment of a firearm, and you would probably get some type of charge as far as the damages and injuries ensued and death of the driver and the vehicle would basically come back on you because of your reckless endangerment with a firearm. I don't know what charge that would be, but absolutely those charges would get dropped on you immediately, especially if you admitted to it. That's pretty crazy. I mean, but as again, like we said, we've seen the police have blatant stand down orders. We've seen the mayors blatantly say, oh, well, Antifa, you know, we can't do anything about them, or we have to let them just finish off what they're doing. It's completely out of control with this. They're paid protesters. They've been paid to come in and start as much trouble as they physically can. That's why they all wear masks. The only reason you wear a mask when you're in a violent setting is to essentially prevent anybody from being able to identify you in a lineup or in a surveillance video. If you're at a protest and you don't care if people see you because you're not involved in any type of illegal, illicit behavior, you don't care if your face is covered up because you're not doing anything illegal. When 500 people show up at the same place and they're all wearing ski masks, you gotta kind of wonder, are these guys here to protest or are they here to get in a fight? Seeing a real, true police department like they would have had here at the Polk County Sheriff's Department here in Central Florida, hence why we've never had any Antifa rallies here, if they would have shown up in a collective group here in Polk County wearing ski mask, they would have immediately been tasered on the scene and more than likely probably pepper sprayed and whatever non-lethal devices they had. I mean, I'm talking as soon as they showed up, they probably would have given one chance on a loudspeaker. You have basically 30 seconds to disperse immediately or we will use less lethals on you. As soon as they did not disperse, they would have unleashed the Polk County Police Department on them in full force with every single less lethal device they had to basically get them under control. You can't start showing up at peaceful protest with 500 plus deep wearing ski masks and expect to completely run around and beat people with 2x4s and throw urine and feces on them and nothing's going to happen to you. But I guess in some of these areas, that's exactly what's happened because, in my opinion, the law enforcement and the mayors already knew these guys were going to be coming in. They were already prepped to allow them to do what they were supposed to do because they were told that's what was going to happen. So it doesn't surprise me, Dad, but it is pretty crazy that this guy actually was running around with a rifle, and that's the basically the situation that ensued afterwards. That's pretty crazy.
Now, the guys who are doing this are the same 17 Kabbalists who put together the Federal Reserve System. Now, one of the key players in the Federal Reserve System was Otto Kahn. He was born in 1869 and died in 1934. He was one of the founding members of the Federal Reserve System. His partner was Jacob Schiff and Paul Warburg in America's most influential banking investment firm, Kuhn Loeb. You got to remember, this is part of the strategy of setting up the Federal Reserve System. Now, stay with me for a second. I'm going to tie this all together. In his book, Geneva Versus Peace, the Comte de Saint-Leu, who was the French ambassador to London from 1920 to 1924, recalled a dinner conversation with Kahn, this guy is a partner in this firm with the Federal Reserve, which took place shortly after World War I and the Versailles Treaty and the Balfour Declaration also that we talked about. This is what happens at the meeting. Asked why the bankers backed Bolshevism and communism, a system supposedly, you know, inimical to private ownership, which means it hates private ownership, Kahn tugged on his enormous cigar and explained, that the bankers created apparent opposites to remake the world according to their specifications. This is that satanic stuff they do, changing the world around. Quote, this is what Kahn said. You say that Marxism is the very antithesis of capitalism, which is equally sacred to us. It is precisely for this reason that they are direct opposites to one another, that they put into your hands the two poles of the planet and allow us to be its axis. These two contraries, like Bolshevism and ourselves, find the identity in the international. These opposites meet again in the identity of their purpose and end in the remaking of the world from above by the control of riches, the Rothschilds, and from below by revolution. Our mission consists in promulgating the new law and in creating a God, that is to say, in purifying the idea of God and realizing it when the time shall come. We shall purify the idea by identifying it with the nation of Israel, which has become its own Messiah. This is his quote. The advent of it will be facilitated by the triumph of Israel. This is even before Israel became a state. This is all through the Balfour Declaration. This is why they were doing this. So he goes on to say, our essential dynamism makes use of the forces of destruction and forces of creation, but uses the first to nourish the second. Our organization for revolution is evidenced by the destruction of Bolshevism, destructive Bolshevism, and for the construction by the League of Nations, which is also our work. Bolshevism is the accelerator, and the League is the brake on the mechanism of which we shall supply the motive of force and the guiding power, which is the United Nations now. What is the end? It is already determined by our mission. It is formed of elements scattered throughout the whole world, but cast in the flame of our faith in ourselves. We are a League of Nations which contains the elements of all others, and it is the microcosm and the germ of the city of the future. Now remember, Satanists redefine reality and morality, turning upside down what God made the way he made it. They seek a worldwide political, economic, and cultural monopoly institutionalized in a world government. This is their goal, guys. Their goal, again, like we talked about with Chuck Baldwin on Friday, is to bring in this one world government that they're going to be in control of. Guys, this isn't okay. This is some crazy stuff. When you start digging into these guys' heads and why they do this kind of stuff, they think they're like God or something. Well, of course, they think they're operating under their God, their little God, their serpent God. This is how they try to run the planet, and they're always putting bipolar opposites. In other words, they take good and they pit it against evil, but they control both sides. We've seen this over and over and over again. We have Barack Obama, does the exact same policies as George W. We have George W. does the exact same policies as Clinton. We've got Clinton doing the exact same policies as George H. And then we've got Trump now. I'm getting all the troops out of Afghanistan. We're putting up a wall. We're not going to have this nonsense going on with the United Nations anymore. I want to get rid of it. All of this rhetoric, now he's in Syria, he's in Afghanistan. The poppy production, heroin production, went from 4,800 metric tons in Afghanistan in 2016 under Obama to 10,000 metric tons under Trump. From 500 square miles in production of poppy in Afghanistan in 2016 to over 1,000 square miles of poppy production in 2017. Guys, the same sides, this guy's saying what they're doing. They're controlling the positive, they're controlling the negative. They control both sides of the narrative until they shape the planet in the way they want to shape it. This is what they're trying to do, and this is what Chuck Baldwin said on Friday. They're trying to bring in the Antichrist. They're trying to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. Christians believe we're going to get raptured, so we don't have to go through any of this, so we're helping them to facilitate it because they have brainwashed the population of believers in the United States for the past 170 years in believing the Scofield Bible and believing dispensationalism, and also believing that they're going to get raptured and not have to go through the tribulation. Guys, all of this stuff, if you can see what they're doing, is tied together to worship their god, Lucifer, and that's who these guys are. These guys are a bunch of nutbags, a bunch of sickos, a bunch of weirdos. Guys, I want to thank you. Thank you for praying for Austin. Thank you for being with Lana, praying for Lana. And thank you for praying for Kendall. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for listening every single day. Thank you for just covering us with your prayers. We pray for you guys all of the time. I love you guys. Thank you again for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We have them in chewable. We have them in powder. We've got them in capsule form. We produce the highest quality nutritional supplements in the world, and all of our products that we have our label on are tested for lead, all of them. So we make sure you guys are going to have the highest purity that you can possibly get. Guys, thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. Austin, I'll let you go ahead and finish, and I'll do the write-up, bud.
Absolutely. And speaking of the multiple, if you guys saw on the website at healthmasters.com, the ultimate multiple powder actually won product of the week this week. So it's on sale for over 10% off. That's a great formula. It's actually got a little bit more nutrients than our regular ultimate multiple in the capsules and the chewable. Because it's in the powder, it's much easier to pretty much add everything we want. We don't have to worry about capsulating it with the plant cellulose capsules. So it's a strong formula. It's basically the like two bottles of the regular multiple as far as length of time as well, because of how many scoops you get in it. So it's a really, really awesome formula, and it's great for people that don't want to take pills, that want to basically put it in a protein shake or a smoothie. I always add it to my smoothie as well. I take the capsules a lot of times just as convenience whenever I'm eating, but whenever I make a protein shake, I use the powder. So does Dad all the time with his. So, yeah, that's on sale right now for over 10% off on the website at healthmasters.com. And also, too, be sure to check out the other products of the week that we have on there. As well, we have a new 80% cocoa extract dark chocolate that we're actually carrying now. It's directly out of Honduras. We've been looking for a while to find a completely pure, organically grown, non-GMO chocolate that basically has been tested, doesn't have any heavy metals in it, and it has to be high percentage and taste good. We finally found a company that basically makes a really, really good formula. We ended up trying it out at a convention here in Orlando not that long ago, and it tastes pretty good for 80%. It's loaded with antioxidants. It's loaded with magnesium. We've had a huge request for that over the year for people that basically want to have a nutrient chocolate bar. Obviously, this is not a candy bar. This is not something you need to be sitting down eating a whole bar of it at one time. This is more of something that if you're craving a little bit of a chocolate or a little bit of a sweet tooth, but you still want to have some really strong antioxidants and magnesium and nutrients in a very pure 80% cocoa chocolate bar, this fits the budget perfectly. I actually just tried a couple squares of it earlier again today because we just got a brand new fresh batch in. So it's on the website under the 80% cocoa extract, extra dark pure chocolate on the website. So be sure to check that out if you guys are a chocolate connoisseur. I think you will like it a lot. It's rich with a nice complex of different chocolate flavors, slight sweetness to it, not bitter really at all compared to a lot of other ones. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.